Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This week, Paul and I are going to talk about what it means and what it looks like to do something that your future self is going to thank you for. One of my favorite examples is I make my coffee every night before I go to bed so that every morning I just push a button. But we do talk in this episode about maybe some more significant things you can do with your money that your future self will thank you for.
Yeah. And that thing is putting your money where you can actually get to it. And that's not in a qualified retirement plan. So stay tuned, enjoy it. We had a lot of laughs too. My dog's walking around in the background and I was afraid he was going to go to the bathroom, but he hasn't yet. So it's good.
Hey, that's a good start.
Yeah, good start to the day.
All right, enjoy. Hey, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And this is the Wealth Warehouse Podcast. All right, Paul, how's it going, man?
What's up? How you doing? I'm good.
Kids are back in school. Oh, you know, most kids have been at school for maybe a month by now.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, our kids are back August 6th.
Yeah. Anthony had a really short summer break, right?
Yeah, they did. They had like 6 weeks.
Yeah. Ooh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's too bad, man. But, they're in a new place, making new friends.
Yep, they are. They're integrated. I think Carmela more so than Anthony right now, but he's getting there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Good. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing him here in a couple of weeks when we go hunting.
Yeah.
So it'll be some new faces there with Carmela and then Blake going with us.
Yeah. Yep. She's never really fired a gun, so it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of training that first day is going to help get there early and just start shooting.
Oh, yeah. We'll do plenty of shooting before we go out.
Yep.
Nice, man. Nice. Well, you were telling me about a conversation you just had with some people you met. And I thought that was real interesting because it's not uncommon.
No, it's their
situation.
It's more common. Yeah. It's very common. It's probably the situation that if you're not one of our clients and you're a new listener, maybe that you probably find yourself in is that you've done everything that they, you know, the conventional financial people have told you to do, right? You put money in a Roth IRA or traditional IRA, you maxed your 401k or, you know, enough to get the match, whatever. And now you find yourself in your 40s. Right. So you've been doing that 15, 20 years. Now you find yourself in your 40s with 92% of your liquid wealth. I'm not talking about home equity or vehicles or other property, but stuff that could be cash that isn't necessarily cash. So qualified plan money, right? You've got 92% of your money in those things.
Right. Yeah. Well, so you don't have access to 92% of your liquid capital.
Correct. Something that could be liquid. So I guess the question is, if you could go back, and I know I was in that boat right before I started the IBC journey, is I was maxing our thrift savings plan. We were at the time maxing Roth IRAs before we, you know, couldn't contribute to them anymore. So I was probably right there with them percentage wise. I had almost no actual liquidity.
Yeah.
And I remember living like that. I was like, oh, this is going to be worth it though. This is just, I'm just piling it in there, but no actual liquidity. And that's the typical American household problem is that they have they have money, but they don't have actual money.
Right. Because the difference between money, money is something you can spend. Money is a form of capital, right? So they've got a lot of capital. They just don't have a lot of money because you can't spend it.
Yeah,
technically they can take it out and do whatever they want with it, right? But so, you know, pretty serious penalties and taxes they're going to pay on it.
Yep. And they're probably automatic withholding if they wanted to do that anyway at 20%. Right. That's just like the TSP. You and I were talking. I was like, I'm going to liquidate that thing. And nope, can't do it because they're going to withhold 20%. And I don't want them to do that. I want all of that money so I can stuff it in a policy first.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But say they're going to withhold 20%, which is a lot of money.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. So that's, I think it'd be interesting if people took a spreadsheet and, you know, make a column and, you know, on every row put, you know, where your money is, where your capital is, how much home equity you have, how much money you have in a qualified plan, in a Roth IRA, in a 529, in the bank, all these different places. And then all the cells that where you can't access the money, turn that cell red, where you can't access it without penalty or taxes, turn it red, and turn it green where you have liquidity and you have direct access with no penalty whatsoever. So, you know, a bank account or a dividend paying whole life insurance policy, and see how much of your capital is red and how much is green.
Yep.
I think it'd be shocking to most people because they look at everything on paper and they say, hey, my net worth is this much. Okay. Your net worth is this much. What percentage of your net worth can you actually spend? You know, that's the number that matters to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I do with, you know, their financial questionnaire that we have our clients fill out is, and if you go through our process, you'll see that we turn, I will go in your, you know, fourth tab, which is financials, and I will turn everything red that you can't get at with the criteria that Dave just laid out. I just turn it all red. Yeah. And then we talk about it. Because, you know, as you enter your 40s, I think especially, you know, you get kids in school, likely your kids leaving for college, maybe in your late 40s or even mid 40s, if you started kind of, you know, in your mid 20s into early 20s, having children, that you want to start doing other things, perhaps. Maybe you could have used that 401k money to help finance college or whatever, or, you know, a car purchase or something. But instead it's locked up. And or maybe you want to go buy a purchase a vacation home. And while you're going to need 20 to 25%, it's a second home. They might require more down payment for that. If it's going to be an Airbnb or a rental, yeah, it's probably 25%.
Yeah.
You know, banks have different criteria, but it's generally higher than the standard 20%. So, yeah, you can't do the things that you want to do because you're paper wealthy. Not actually wealthy.
Yeah, because you don't control your capital. Yeah. So it's like, you know, maybe you had an opportunity come your way, like one of our, or one of my clients has the opportunity to be a partner in his business. And, you know, there's a lot of capital tied up in other places that aren't easily accessible. So now it's, well, we got to go get a loan, which is fine. At least you have the opportunity to do that, except, you know, the loan terms are going to be up to the bank. And not you. So it just, it makes opportunities less accessible, I guess you could say.
Yeah, less accessible and likely not even being looked for in most cases.
Right. Yeah, you don't even see them. You don't consider them because you're not looking for them because it's not even a possibility in your mind. And if it's not in your mind, you're not going to see it. That's just...
Yeah, that's right. And while we're on the topic of borrowing money, you know, that came up in our conversation. This was kind of like a second intro call where we kind of just dug into the details that they had provided me. And, you know, the policy loan feature came up and, you know, they were kind of like, wait a minute, there's no repayment schedule. I was like, well, no, you define that, right? If you don't make a payment this month, they're not, there's no bill, there's no hit on your credit report. This is completely privatized lending. Right? From one private company to a private individual or you, the policy owner. And they were really shocked at that. I was like, so think of about this. You're the bank owner, you're the loan officer and the borrower, but you're all the same person. Yeah. That's how you should think of this. And that's because that's how it is. So you will define that. Should you put the money back? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, one other thought came to mind from a conversation I had maybe a year ago with somebody. I think there's a lot of people out there probably that may be in debt, have some credit card debt, and they're not paying off the statement balance every month. So they're carrying a balance. So they're paying really high interest on that because they don't have the cash flow to pay it off yet. Yet they're still funding their 401k.
Yeah.
They're still funding these qualified and these investment plans. Like what in the world are you doing? Stop funding that stuff and cut out that debt. If you're losing, you're paying 20%. On this debt, and you're funding something that maybe is going to earn you 10%.
Oh, if they're lucky.
If you're lucky.
More likely six.
Yeah. Right. So what's going to be better? Saving 20% or making 6%?
Right.
You know? But it's just because of the way, just like you said, this couple that you were talking to, it's the way we've been told to do things.
Right.
And I think like anything in life, if you really want to be free, if you want to be a free thinker, you can't accept everything that the mainstream tells you. If you want to be financially free, you can't do the things that the mainstream tells you to do. You just can't.
Yeah. And we've said this on the podcast. It's, you know, how can the same advice be the best thing for every single person?
For every single person.
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And it's spoken like, this is what you should do. We don't know your situation, but you should do this.
Right. We have no idea what you want to do, what your hopes, what your dreams are, what your personal, you know, nothing. But do this. You know, buy term, invest the difference, max out your 401k and your IRAs, and in some mythical mutual fund that earns 12% year over year compounding, which which if that existed, I would own that. That's great. Double my money. What, you double your money every 7 years, roughly, you know, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Right. At 12%. I think that's right. I haven't done that math in a while and I don't care, but I think that's fairly close.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, so.
Yeah. So, you know, what you've done in the past, you can't change it. You can only learn from it. So what are you going to do from this point going forward? What if you did something today that 5 years from now, your future self thanked you for? Like five years is a pretty short period of time. I mean, think back 5 years ago. 5 years ago was, we were in the midst of COVID, right? Which kind of seems like a lifetime ago, but also not so long ago. It's kind of funny. But if you look at your phone, like I just pull up my photos and go to the year 2020, I'm like, holy cow, look how little the kids were.
Yeah, you were reading Tuttle Twin books on YouTube to the boys and talking
and now
about
they're,
it.
You know, in high
young
school,
men.
Senior and junior, you know, they're driving, they've got cars, they got jobs. I'm like, wow, where did the
time
go? They
have nice cars.
That, a lot nicer than I ever had.
I didn't have one.
Right. But
yeah,
you know, it's their money. They earned it. They can spend it how they choose. But they just gotta, I don't think they went beyond their means. Maybe Bo did. He still owes me some money for that, but that's all right.
Pick up a few shifts at Chick-fil-A.
Actually, he's working, he worked like 40 hours the other week because
he
had an unexpected car bill.
Ooh, what happened?
Oh, the rear brakes, rotors, and calipers all needed to be replaced.
The rears?
And everything was like frozen solid on there. So I couldn't, we couldn't even loosen the nuts on there.
Wow. That's a Minnesota salt.
Yeah, it is.
Corrosion.
Yeah, it's bad. You know, and if you don't do the underbody wash every week in the wintertime, you're gonna be in a bad situation. But
that's interesting. That's a best practice. You should do that if you live in those areas for sure.
Well, what I do in the wintertime, I switch my car wash deal because I do the unlimited because I like having a clean truck. I switch it to including the underbody wash, and in the summer, I downgrade it because I don't need that necessarily. But
you heard it here.
There's
folks.
A little hack.
Look at that car wash management.
You either that or when you buy the truck or the car, you got to get that underbody coating. Yeah, you know, you pay for something, they put on a coating that protects everything underneath. But I don't ever plan to own a car long enough for that to really matter too much. That'll be the next person's problem.
Right.
The next
your truck still looks good though.
It does. Yeah. It's going on 4 years old. Yeah. But anyway, you know, do something today that your future self will thank you for. You know, my dad gave me some advice when I was younger, and he said, do something today that you'll never regret. And he would say, like, go work out. He's like, you're never going to regret it tomorrow that you did that today. So what else are you not going to regret? Well, one would be eating healthy today. You're not going to regret that tomorrow. You're not going to say, I wish I would have had that extra piece of cake yesterday. Nobody ever says that.
Right. You
know, so make your coffee for the morning. I do that every morning. And every morning I say, thanks, Dave, for making the coffee last night. Now I just got to push a button. Like,
yeah, and there's just something about the whole ritual too. I love drinking my coffee in the morning.
Yeah.
I love it.
It is. Gets the day started off right, especially when you don't have to make it in the morning. You just push a button.
Gets the gears going too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does. Got to have that. I just finished mine with our Wealth Warehouse swag.
There you go.
Which we don't have any yet for everybody, but maybe we should.
Yeah, we probably should.
Yeah. But by, you know, starting your banking system today, start putting your money somewhere you can control it today. And yes, it's going to take some time to build up. You're not going to have 100% liquidity right away. But do you have 100% liquidity in everywhere else you're putting your money?
No, you have no liquidity anyway. Right.
Yeah. No, none.
Yeah. I think like at some point, once you discover this, it's you have enough, and it took some convincing even for me to stop contributing to the TSP back in 2020. And it was somebody else that thought IBC was a scam at first and then was like, oh, wait a minute, this is awesome. And that was a great client. And but he was like, why are you still putting money in there? And I was like, I don't know. But at some point, you have enough qualified plan money. Like you don't, you know, if someone else is contributing to it for you, you know, your airline pilot's fine. Obviously, that's you don't have a choice anyway. They're putting money in there. Great.
Yeah.
But you don't have to put any more, and you shouldn't.
Right.
Like it's, the 401k is not some magical, mythical, you know, product or system that's going to create these just unbelievable returns. It's not. It's a taxable account. You're just punting the taxes to the
tax
future.
Deferred account, and you're compounding your taxes. You know, Warren Buffett said, compound interest is the eighth wonder of the world, or at least I guess that something Warren Buffett said, or somebody said it. What about compound taxes? You know,
yeah,
because that's compounding right now too.
Yep, it's better to pay them now because they're low.
They're as low as they'll probably ever be unless Trump has his way and abolishes the income tax.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
I'd rather they abolish the income tax, abolish property taxes, and just jack up my sales tax. I'd be okay with that. I can control that too.
Then that's a consumption tax.
That's right.
Right. I don't know. We could get into a discussion about that because then what it's going to be is a race to the bottom for manufacturers trying to produce something much cheaper. And then you're just going to have a bunch of crap out
there. They already do.
Everything's cheap. Yeah, that's true. They do.
Everything sucks.
Yeah.
The cars built today are terrible.
They're terrible. Like, they're ugly too. Oh, you ever drive down the road and think, how ugly is every car on the road these days? Ugly. And then you go to a car show and you're like, this was amazing. The creativity, the beauty.
Yes.
The aesthetics of the way they used to make cars. I don't know.
Like my two classic cars, my truck and my 70, they're CUDA. They're beautiful cars.
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know. I've come to appreciate nicer looking things, maybe because our society in general is getting more and more plain and uncreative.
It's going to be a problem.
Buildings that go up are terrible.
Yeah, it's going to be an issue too, where you know you have this whole generation that knows about ChatGPT and can rely on it. Not only do they all have smartphones, you get instant information. You're carrying a supercomputer in the palm of your hand, basically. You know, it could tell you anything. That we had to go, you know, we had to go to the encyclopedia to look up.
You had to do some work. You know, go to the car catalog.
Yeah. That's right. Or work in that Dewey Decimal System. But
yeah. You know,
so I think you're right. I think we're going to have a problem here as we age. You know, we get into our 60s and 70s. We're going to have this giant creativity gap. I hope it doesn't happen, but I think it's going to because people are just lazy and stupid.
Yeah, because creativity is born from confines, from boundaries.
Yeah.
If you have no boundaries, you have no need for creativity.
Right.
But if you have boundaries, like who are the most creative people on earth? Prisoners. Like the things that prisoners think of and what they can create, incredibly creative. But yeah, anyway, we may be getting off track, but you know, how can we kind of bring that back? the decisions you make today are the ones you're going to either be happy you made or regret 10 years from now.
I would put it like this, like a call to action. Like at some point, if you're, you know, most of our clients that we get are our age, they're in their 40s, you know, they're making the most money they've ever made, and they're going to continue to do better into their late 40s, 50s, and into their 60s. They're going to get more and more productive. That's what ought to be happening. That's typically what is going to happen. So at some point you need to ask yourself, like, and this is the question I ask, why am I putting money into this thing where I've piled hundreds of thousands of dollars over the last 15 years, right?
Yeah.
Why do I really need to put any more money in that bucket? Well, no, it didn't do anything for me. And it looks cool on paper. Like me and my buddy used to like say, oh yeah, look at it. It's growing great and whatever. And we had our spreadsheets going and all that. I haven't updated that thing in 5 years. I don't care. But at some point, you need money now. And you've said this on the podcast so many times, like, and it's simple but brilliant, is you need money right now. You're going to need it in the future too, but you can have both. You can have capital access now and, you know, a source of tax-free passive income in the future, all wrapped up into this one process and this one product.
And uninterrupted compound growth to boot.
Oh, we talked about that with these people yesterday too. And I was like, just because you have money leverage, you don't interrupt the growth of the policy. You still get the contractual growth. You still get the full dividend. And you know, they're just amazed by this. And I was like, yeah, like that's the trick, is every time you take money out of that savings account, pay that tuition bill or pay that car bill or whatever you're doing, you've permanently interrupted the velocity of that money. And there's nothing you could do about it.
Yep.
It'll never grow as much as it would have had you not done that. And if you're talking school tuition, $16,000 a year over the next decade. Would you like to keep as much of that 160 as you can? Sure. Of course you do.
Yeah. Right. I'm just like last week's episode where we talked about capturing up to half of your
great
big
episode.
Annual expenses. Like what if you could capture half of that? What if you could capture 10% of that permanently? Like, would that make a difference over your lifetime? Yeah, it would.
Absolutely.
It would make a big difference.
If you
could capture 10% more of your capital instead of just the 10% you're investing, how about capture another 10% permanently with very, very little effort and not doing anything different with your cash flow?
That's the beauty too. And we talked about that, was we're going to take existing cash flow, existing money, and just we're going to change the sequence of where it goes. It's still going to go do what it was going to go do, whether it was finance a vehicle, finance education, vacation, that was a big one, tithing. It's still going to do all those things. We just, like Nelson says in the book on page whatever, I had to revise. It occurred to me that I need to revise my spending pattern.
Yeah.
And put premium in the middle.
Yeah.
And that that was IBC.
Not only are you going to be able to do what you're already doing, but over time,
more.
You're going to be able to do more. Because over time, that PUA is going to be creating more than a dollar for every dollar you put in. Therefore, maybe you can take a bigger and better vacation 5 years from now than you're taking today. Wouldn't that be nice without doing anything different?
Yeah. And I don't want people that can be confused. It's not like you're going on vacation for free or buying a car for free. And we've talked about that before.
No,
you don't
of course
make
not.
Money buying cars. You don't make money, whatever. You make money by investing it and getting a return, hopefully. But you're certainly going to be, I haven't done the math, but you're going to be a lot more, you're going to lose far less money than you otherwise would have.
Right.
Far less.
Far less. Yeah, because that money will still be earning for you.
That's right. It's going to turn this kind of headwind that everyone is facing. Like you want a headwind, you take off, of course. But then when you turn towards your destination, right, on climb out, you want as big of a tailwind as you can get.
Yeah.
And that goes into altitude selection and, and luck, whatever, you're going to have the wind you're going to have. The pilot can't really affect it, but
you know, when I flew an Apache from Colorado Springs to Fort Hood, we had one gas stop because we had a 30 knot tailwind. Stopped at Amarillo, got gas, continued on to Fort Hood. Might have landed with a couple of low fuel lights. But that's fine. It was within the 20 minute VFR reserve is fine.
There you go.
But anyway, like literally on final approach.
If the minimums weren't good enough, they wouldn't be the minimums.
That's right. Dude, totally good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it just goes back to rethinking your thinking, like Nelson says, and think long range. You know, I think we often overestimate what we can do in 1 year, and we drastically underestimate what can be done in 5 years.
Yeah, and we were talking before we hit record, like what we were doing. You were, I guess, were you flying then? I guess you were still flying for
5 years
Sky
ago,
West.
Yeah.
You were flying. You were doing this on the side.
Mm-hmm.
I was still in the Army doing this on the side, just beginning it. I think I got licensed 6 years ago this month.
Yeah.
And time has flown by. Now we have between the two of us, I don't know, 600 clients probably.
Yeah, something like that.
I'm really hoping my dog in the background doesn't all of a sudden just take a dump.
Like my dog did this morning.
Because he might, because he's old and blind and deaf and he doesn't seem to care where he goes. But anyway, so it doesn't take long. And like you said earlier, you have a temporary loss of liquidity. That's the only sacrifice people who own dividend paying whole life insurance have, right? When you compare it to like putting money in a savings. But if you're a 401k IRA person, you're locking that money up anyway. So now you're putting that money, let's say we use those cash flows to now start paying premium, just like I did, and hundreds of other people, redirecting that money to where you can get at it.
Yeah.
You're winning in the liquidity, on the liquidity front. You're going to have access to capital. You're going to be able to do the things that you want to do, but sooner.
Right. Like you're going to have a temporary loss of liquidity, whether you're putting it into a properly structured dividend paying whole life insurance policy or a qualified plan. The difference is that temporary loss is a handful of years with your whole life policy and possibly decades with your qualified plan.
Right. And just so refreshing memories for qualified plans, folks, 59 and a half years old is when you can start penalty free. Not tax-free, unless it's Roth. Roth is tax-free because you've already paid tax on it. But if you're deferring taxes in a 401k traditional account, mm-hmm. 59 and a half years old. And it's going to be taxed. So subtract 20 or 30% from that amount.
Yeah.
And that's what you'll get in your checking account every month or every year or whatever.
Be taxes, ordinary income or whatever bracket you're at, which
put,
I don't know.
Put that into your wealth calculator and hit recompute.
Yeah. Not sure what the brackets are going to be 20,
no idea.
30 years from now. What the rates are going to be. No idea. So all I know is I don't want to be in the bottom bracket. You know, maybe my AGI, sure. But my actual income, I definitely don't want to be in the bottom bracket. I want to make a lot more money than that during retirement. Or in passive income years.
Yeah. And we've discussed that too. Like the idea that I'm going to make less money in retirement, or, you know, I don't know why that sounds terrible. And that's, unfortunately, that's how most people are going to be. They're going to, unless you start to take action now and you need income, you need to start producing lasting income. That's what all these uber wealthy people have, right? They all own businesses. You know, Warren Buffett bought Geico a number of years ago, which provides like $6 billion a year or something. revenue.
Yeah. You know? I don't think wealthy people aren't trying to accumulate capital. They're trying to accumulate income.
Income.
Right.
Right.
So, all right, everybody. Hey, do something today that you'll thank yourself for tomorrow. And maybe that's just as simple as making your coffee tonight before you go to bed, or foregoing that dessert. Whatever it may be, or do something more powerful and start controlling your own capital.
Yeah. So stop waiting. If you're listening, don't be like some of our clients who, you know, get on the calendar. Let's talk.
Get on the calendar. check the show notes. You can get on our calendar and have a conversation.
We're just like this and on a call too. So just normal, two normal guys. And we'd love to chat with you. So take action now. He's about to take a dump, I think.
All right. Well, we better sign off then. Hey, we'll talk to y'all next week. Until then, control your capital.
Or somebody else will.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.